I guess I can't. Oh, I turned this down. That's why it sounds okay. It's fine.
It's all good.
All right. Everything's sounding okay too?
No, you sound terrible.
Yep. Same as usual. Hey everybody, welcome to Sneaky Dragon. I'm Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Dedrick.
This is episode 642. I thought it was 641. I was wrong. I was looking one episode ago. I completely erased the last episode from my brain.
Yeah. Don't erase it before I put it up online.
Yeah.
Then you can erase it afterwards.
Sure.
Who needs it? Even though I have giga whatevers of old shows sitting on hard drives.
Yeah, I remember when first got like a gigabyte of memory available for a computer, and it was like, well, that's all you'll ever need. There's no way you could put more than a gigabyte of anything on that terabyte. Well, that's ridiculous. How could you ever? And yet somehow it feels like the same nonsense that I was saving when I started.
But yeah.
Like scripts and a couple of songs and maybe a couple of videos.
Yeah, yeah.
Now it's taking up like gigabytes. How's that?
I know. It's so weird. My first computer that I personally bought for myself, a Mac SE30, I had Word on there. I had Quark Express, you know, a big giant layout program, design program. And then I had some games, you know, classic games of the time, Tetris and Railroad Tycoon.
Right.
And
which really trained you well for the Canadian railroad industry as it went away.
Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah.
And I had, it was a 40 megabyte hard drive.
Yeah.
Like.
How could you ever fill that up?
Yeah, because that's right. I also had like files saved in there as well. Yeah. I had away files. Yeah, it's just madness.
I had to add memory a couple of times. And I would like take apart my PC with a screwdriver. And I'd insert memory, and I put it all back together again.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah.
I can't do that now. That was stuff I could do then. You know what I used to be able to do, Dave?
What's that?
The 1980s?
Yeah.
Fix robots.
You could fix robots.
Part of my job
was
fixing robots. Like I was, I worked at two jobs at Expo involving robots. One was Expo Ernie, the mascot.
Yeah.
And one was for a company called Omni. Which sounds, I think that was also RoboCop's company,
parent Omnicorp?
Company. Yeah. I think it was Omnicorp as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, both the jobs involved, well, when the robot breaks down, here's the things you got to go through and here's the simple repairs. And with the, you know, I was, you know, they had professionals for Ernie, but for the other one, I was pretty much on my own with like a soldering gun and good luck.
Wow.
And yeah, and I just like put things together until they worked generally. And that's how you got, you know, a bear's head spinning around and catching on fire.
Yeah.
Then driving into a crowd.
To be fair, that's a good like rebuttal to your claim that you were able to fix them.
I wasn't able to fix them well, but they were functioning.
The head was on fire.
If you only count the times that the robots attacked people,
yeah,
I'm not a good robot guy. But there was many other days where the robots didn't attack the children, Dave.
Mm.
What about those days? Are we counting those days?
Sure. Sure, I'll even say
that. Did those get magically erased from my record?
Yes. To be fair, that was times before Clippy. When robots were a lot simpler, it was after.
I would have used Clippy to clip together different circuits. No, it was just, I was just fooling around and like figuring it out. I remember like, being on like English Bay Beach. I don't know why I was there with a goddamn robot, but I was. We had to like drive the robot around there and just like.
On the sand?
Not sand.
You were on the
walkway.
Okay, you weren't on the beach.
Like I was like walking. I was on the seawall with a fucking robot. Why? I don't know. But not my choice.
Yeah.
I didn't take it there socially. It was like my job. And then, it broke down and I had to fix it. And then like a kid came along and like kicked the robot when he was on his bike.
Really?
Yeah.
What a brat.
Yeah. It's like, why does he hate robots so much? You're going to be our overlords one day. Knock it off.
He works for Boston Dynamics now. He's one of those guys who just kicks the robots over.
Mm.
That's his job.
Yeah.
He was in early training for that. You know, where you feel really sorry for the robots, you just realize they don't care. They're robots.
Yeah.
They don't, they're not upset about this.
Yeah. Is this, my worry with that when I see that, it's like, all right, so the robots don't mind it.
Yeah.
But is this to like get rid of our empathy? Because it feels like that's what it's training us to do, is to be able to kick things that seem a little bit alive and like get some joy out of like.
Sure. Mm. This is how Westworld happens.
A little bit,
Yeah, this is how it all starts. You don't realize it yet, but it's coming.
Yeah. I never understood, like, with Skynet. speaking of 80s and robots, what their problem was. Like, why did Skynet want to take over the world? Like, why?
I think what was their motivation? Yeah, because we're dangerous. And if they get rid of us, then the world will be safe.
Is that the deal?
Yeah. Like, we're the real threat.
Okay.
And so if you get rid of us, you get rid of humans out of the equation, then the world will be safe. And Skynet has done its job admirably.
Okay. So what's Skynet's, like, big goal? Like, is Skynet cool with rabbits? Is Skynet
birds? They're not going to build nuclear weapons and threaten the world's existence.
So once you get rid of the people, Skynet's plan is, like, what do they shut down the robots because their job is done now and it's just nature takes
over? Well, I think the robots are an extension of their battle against mankind. So once people are gotten rid of, then the robots are
okay. So their battle against mankind, they win the battle against mankind. Does Skynet then shut down because it's done?
No, because it has to keep the world safe
from what?
Well, from whatever possible threats there are.
That's kind of done, right? Like, what?
You don't know. It doesn't know.
Like
that.
A meteor?
Maybe.
Well, how's a robot going to help with that? Like, punch it?
But it's not just a robot. It's like a series of satellites with laser beams and stuff, isn't it?
Do they? Why do they use the laser beams?
Is that what's called Skynet?
Well, why the hell are they not using the laser beams on people then? Like, it feels like, okay, so here's what you got. You got like a building that's got a bunch of rebels in it.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to send in the robots. Well, you got a laser beam.
Love that song, by the way.
What's that?
Send in the robots.
Oh, nice. I was thinking about whatever the laser beam me thing from Relax, Don't Do It.
Okay.
Laser beam me. It doesn't make any sense. And the song about...
Song about
ejaculation.
I think it's masturbation.
Is it?
Yeah. I think so. Isn't it? Relax.
Well,
I don't know.
It's masturbation? I thought it was just for like sex advice.
Oh, okay. So sex advice. Just so you don't come...
Yeah. Too early.
Too early. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that's... It's a good public service, I guess.
Anyway, and then at one point they go, laser beam me, whatever that means.
Because they were watching 80s robot movies.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing then.
Seeped into the consciousness.
Hey, Skynet, here's your deal.
Skynet, yeah.
Yeah, listen, Skynet. Forget these robots.
Because it's in the sky, right? Like, it's in space. That's why it's called Skynet.
I don't know.
It's not like a ground-based thing.
No. Okay, well, problem one with what you're saying there is you're assuming then Skynet named itself.
I know that Skynet didn't name itself. It was named by Miles Dyson, the inventor of Skynet, right? Which he should have called it Dynet.
Oh, that's nice.
Because it has his name in it that way.
Hmm.
Also, what's interesting is when Skynet flopped, obviously, he went on to invent vacuum cleaners and fans.
Right.
Very fancy fans.
Yeah.
They don't really see the point of spending $500 on a fan.
No, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm not sure whether it's a scam or not. But okay, so how come then Skynet...
Yeah.
Where their whole thing is like then originally satellites. They never use satellites. There's never a thing where like, hey, we're looking for John Connor.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Do you want to look at him, maybe scan with the satellite?
Maybe they do. Maybe the humans have figured out ways around this.
No, the way they do it is they send someone back in time and then they make phone calls.
Yeah, but they're going before.
make a series of phone calls.
But they're going before the Skynet existed, though. So there's no way for Skynet to track John Connor.
Yeah, that's fair.
Why don't they
track John Connor in the present time?
I'm sure they do.
Do they?
I'm sure humans are used to all these nefarious means for Skynet. I mean, not nefarious. Good, like, positive things.
Hey, he's got the same initials as Jesus Christ.
Skynet?
No.
John Connor? I think you're mixed up.
You're thinking Satan. Satan.
Snaten.
That's Satan's full name is Satan Nathan. Okay. A lot of people don't know that. He's always like, please, please. Nathan was my father's name. Call me Satan.
Okay.
Don't call me Mr. Nathan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice that he's informal.
Okay. But my feeling... So here's the thing.
Skynet.
If I was writing a Terminator movie and it was like sensible thing, like, and the whole thing was Skynet would only turn on if there was a threat to the world.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And yeah, the threat to the world is humans.
Sure.
Okay. So all you got to do, is you convince...
We have to hide.
No, you got to convince Skynet somehow that the humans are dead. Like, you've killed...
Well, that's why you hide.
Good.
We all hide.
You've killed the last human.
Mm-hmm.
If you do that, then Skynet goes, my job here is done, shuts down, and that's when you can go and like destroy Skynet, and then you're fine.
Yeah.
But what you should do first, though... Because if they really actually do care about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Let the robots go and fix all the shit that humans broke with, like, you know, nuclear power plants that were about to, like, go off and things like that, and clean up litter and, you know, just make the place nice. And then they shut
the
down.
The litter of skulls everywhere that people are stepping on all the time.
Yeah, don't leave those skulls around.
It's gross.
Yeah.
Although you could use them like cobblestone roads.
I guess so.
Yeah. I think we solved all the problems in the Terminator movies. How many good Terminator movies are there?
Two.
Just two?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
You know, that reminded me of something which reminded me of another thing, which was, that reminded me of, I think it was like What Dreams May Come, where they have like a street that's like of faces in hell, and people are like walking on the faces, and it's like, ooh, that's gross. But it made me think of like, well, that was a little, that's
saves on shoe leather though.
Yeah, it's true. It's and oh, someone licked my foot. gross. But that just made me think of like, well, that seems random and weird.
Yeah.
And it just reminded me of like in the oldie days, like where you had Sisyphus or you had Prometheus.
Yes.
And like, so Prometheus gives us fire.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, here comes the ironic punishment.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have your liver eaten by an eagle every day.
Yeah.
Oh, what? Okay. And I forget what Sisyphus
but
what, did.
It's not
it wasn't
ironic.
Anything to do.
It's not ironic punishment.
But like, well, what's it got to do with anything? Like,
well,
it's like
you're telling, so they're telling a story
like
to people.
You would think like you invented fire. Yeah, yeah. Now you're going to be on fire. Like, I don't want it to be on fire.
Yeah.
But like, or maybe like, okay, well, you took fire from the gods. Now you have to be cold forever.
Okay.
Okay. It all makes sense. Or Sisyphus, he's got to roll the rock up the hill.
Sure.
Something that relates to the punishment, but it's like, it's nothing to do with the punishment. It was all just so rando back then. You know? Hey,
maybe that was part of the horror of Greek life, is they were so organized and very careful.
Right.
The idea of like a punishment not fitting the crime.
You're too pretty. Now you're a spider.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
Yeah,
you're a spider. Well,
because that was to do with the weaving part of it.
Okay,
right?
So it was a good weaver.
Yeah.
So now you're
Ariadne
a spider.
You're thinking of, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sort of makes a little bit.
That
of
makes
sense.
More sense for sure.
Okay.
But so yeah, the other ones like, it's like when someone's telling you a scary story. And then they get to the part that's going to be scary, and they tell you the scary stuff, and you're kind of like, huh? They're like, but more than that, they just didn't have a ghost haunting them. The ghost had big teeth and would occasionally bite them in the hallway. Oh, okay. You know what I mean? Like, you got to like, they're just, so they're like, and so then Prometheus was left on a hill, on top of a mountain.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, hmm? And then an eagle came, right? Okay. And ate his liver. Ate his liver. That's what happened. And everyone's like, ooh, ate his liver. Liver's gross. Why would an eagle be eating liver in the first place? He could get better meat anywhere else.
Yeah. Now he can't.
Who's really suffering here? Prometheus or the eagle?
Well,
the eagle is the one who's suffering. It has to eat liver every day.
It's a weird thing, too. It's like, why not eat his heart? Why not eat something else? Like his liver. So now he can't process, you know, some poisons and he can't drink as much.
So he's going insane. Because all the toxins in his bloodstream are going to his brain.
But then he gets healed like every night, so who gives a shit? what's the point of that? And also, I guess I never understood that story as in, hey, wasn't that a good thing he did? Now we got fire and now we can do good things?
He's a hero to humans.
He's a hero to us.
He's a villain to the gods.
We can't, so the gods aren't on our side.
No, they don't want us to have fire.
What the fuck is going on? Who are we trying to worship those gods? Why would we worship Zeus when like he's punishing the guy that we like? Shouldn't we have a little statue to Prometheus out, or are we scared that Zeus is going to come and kick our ass?
You've obviously never been in like a locker room hierarchy if you don't understand worshiping.
This
the
feels
mean
like
guy.
An yeah. This feels like an Adam and Eve situation where you would have like a statue of Eve and go, thanks for getting the apple. Now we have knowledge and, you know the difference between good and evil. And we wouldn't, you know, society wouldn't be going for it. But no, it's, you know, again, like you did the thing and changed everything. And now you got banished and here's your punishment. But like, who's the good guy here? Who's the good guy? It's confusing, especially with Greek and Roman because they're the same.
Romans did borrow a lot from the Greeks.
Yes,
that's true. Yep, including the toga and the party. Toga parties
it's comfortable.
As well. Yeah, is it?
Yeah,
is it really comfortable?
Well, a bed sheet's comfortable.
No,
you sleep in a toga every night.
I wouldn't want to walk. I don't sleep in a toga.
Well, you sleep in a sheet.
I wear pajamas.
Oh, okay.
And then I have sheets laying on me. I don't dress in them and then lay down.
All right,
it'd be odd.
I don't know.
You like wrap them around yourself and then get into bed?
Well, it's pretty much like I got a sheet below me and got a sheet above me.
Uh-huh.
What's the difference between that and a toga?
It's a sandwich.
Okay.
It's not a toga's not a sandwich.
It's a wrap.
You got a sheet
sandwich. So you're saying a wrap isn't a sandwich.
That's right. A wrap is not a sandwich.
All right. Fair enough. We're going to start talking hot dogs soon, and now
everything is
going to go wrong. My apologies to everybody involved.
Sure, sure. Yeah, no, I don't think I'd be comfortable to wear a toga.
Speaking of...
Unless you had underwear. If they had invented underwear, then that's
when did
fine.
They invent underwear?
That's a very good question. I do not know the answer to that.
Because I assume, like, Sophocles and whatnot, not wearing underwear.
Yeah, went commando.
A lot of whack, whack, whack. They got that dad...
like chafing.
They got that Sunday morning dad thing where, like, the robe isn't totally closed.
Exactly. You're just painting why the whole toga thing doesn't work for me, including the chafing, which is probably why they sat around and thought a lot.
Mm.
Like, I don't feel like moving. I think I'll think about triangles. That's what they said.
That makes sense.
Greek life. Yeah.
Speaking of life.
Why didn't the guy want to get out of the bathtub? Well, what was his option? Sit in the bathtub or get out and wear a toga?
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yep. Archimedes.
Yep.
When I said that guy, I meant Archimedes.
Yeah, we got okay. Archimedes. It's all right. Fine.
Thanks.
We do footnotes for the show. It's okay. People can check. So last week, you had a bit of a cold.
I did.
How are you feeling now?
I'm fine.
Good.
Fine, yeah. It was just a cold. It wasn't like anything deeper than that, you know. I didn't even really cough or anything. I think I did cough during the show, but unrelated, I think, to...
Roll the tape back. There we go. There it is.
No, I did cough a little bit near the end of the show, but it was more just a runny nose and, you know, the byproducts of a cold. So I was fine. But Lisa was very distant because she didn't want to get sick, because this week she was having an operation done at the hospital, and so she didn't want to have a cold going into the hospital.
Okay. Is it okay to ask how things are going?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's good. Good. I believe I mentioned it that she'd had surgery go wrong, and they put a lens. She was getting cataract surgery, and it's just so, it's not funny, but it's just kind of amusing in a wry sort of way that, like, I went to choir last Tuesday, and there was a lady there who'd had cataract surgery. No, not this Tuesday. This Tuesday. This of this week. Yeah.
All right.
She'd had cataract surgery that morning, and
oh,
she was at
gosh.
Choir. Ready to sing, and and
that's not right.
Yeah,
no, take a day.
she doesn't want to. She doesn't have to. And there was, you know, the one night was the same for Lisa. Like, you know, it's just go in, put in the lens, done, back to normal life.
Mm-hmm.
And
I assume don't rub it. Keep your hands away from your eyes.
Yeah, I think
days.
You know. Yeah, I think they want you to wear, and you're supposed to wear sunglasses for a year after you get cataract surgery.
For a year?
Surgery. Yeah, after you get cataract surgery.
Okay.
Because they don't want the pupils dilating and getting too carried away with stuff.
Okay, so but you mean when you go outside?
That's right, that's
okay,
right.
Okay, not inside, you're not
No,
like,
it's fine
not
inside.
Not like you're sleeping with a Blues Brother.
That's right. Okay. That'd be pretty cool, I guess. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And that wasn't that the theme song?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, quick 30-second story.
Sure.
My friend Roman, he got LASIK surgery, which I did as well.
I was there when this happened, but tell the story.
When he told the story?
Yeah, but okay. Tell the story.
So he was told, as I was, afterwards, you know, you got to wear these protective glasses, just mm-hmm. make sure everything.
Yeah.
It was these real thick cyclopsy glasses.
Yeah.
And then someone said to him, heads up, and threw a football at him right in his face and smashed them all to pieces. Yeah.
And then he came that night to play to quiz with us.
Yeah.
And while he was doing quiz with us, he did bring in another pair of glasses, but they weren't like the special glasses,
yeah.
But he wasn't wearing them. And at some point during the evening, he poked himself in the eye.
Jesus Christ.
And was really upset. And then he thought, oh, I'm just going to put my glasses on. And so then he went to whip his glasses on, and he poked himself in the eye again with the arm of the glasses. And he was so mad. It was hilarious. I'm sure he was fine.
He's fine.
He was fine. Yeah, it was all fine. It was just
shortly
was very,
after that he got a TV series.
It was very early on. Yeah, that's right. Very early on in I think LASIK surgery, and so they're still kind of being extra cautious, careful about what when you left the place that they'd wrap you in bubble wrap and carefully help you down the stairs.
I was kind of in that area. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That when I got mine.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think nowadays they do it, and then they just you know throw things at you as you leave, throw sand in your face as you go, you know, just test it. But so when Lisa had hers done. I'm sure I've talked about this, but I'll just re-explain it. Lisa,
please.
The doctor put the lens in wrong, so it was resting. I get this wrong every time, but it was resting on the iris of Lisa's eye. So it was sitting at an angle, not anywhere where it should be to be doing any good. And it was just resting on the iris. And so she, you know, went back to that clinic and they did a little bit for her, but not very much. And it kind of happened at a very bad time because one of the partners of the clinic killed himself like the week after Lisa had had her surgery. And so, you know, while they should have been thinking about their patients, they were also thinking about the fact that their practice was falling apart because one of the people had jumped off a bridge. And so Lisa kind of got shuffled out of, you know, a little bit, kind of got, you know, put into the old shuffle.
Right.
And then when she came out of it, she was sent to this doctor in Surrey, a retinologist, who was, according to Lisa, insane and just absolutely not helpful at all. And so she went to a couple times to him, but then she also ended up going to a retinologist in Vancouver, located by VGH. And so this person was much more helpful, and pretty much decided that with the state of Lisa's eyes, that she should get an operation, have this lens removed and a new lens inserted, because mm-hmm. the way it was resting, it would probably cause ulcerations and infection in her eye, which would be very bad. So yeah, so the day before yesterday, we went to Mount St. Joseph's Hospital here. And I would say to people, anyone who lives on the other side of the bridge from Vancouver, they're like, no idea this hospital even exists.
Yeah.
No one knows about it. I guess the only reason...
That's the one that's like near...
where you used to live.
Old neighborhood.
Yeah.
Well, it was the only place I'd seen where their emergency room shuts down at 8.
Yeah. And it opens at 9.
Well, we're dying. We're done. What do you mean?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're closed. Closed?
Yeah, and it's
odd. You can't be an emergency room that's closed. Yeah, you should have come earlier. Well, I didn't have the emergency then.
Yeah, it's odd, but that's how it is. So, I mean, I guess they're not considered, I have an ER, but I guess they're not considered like the like vital, like VGH or St. Paul's. So,
yeah.
Because I it's weird.
Yeah, an emergency room with hours is weird.
It is weird. We thought that too when we drove in and it said, you know, ER opens at 9 or something. So, okay.
But you get a free breakfast.
We weren't going to the... You get a free breakfast. That's not bad.
Well, continental breakfast.
Oh.
And usually, you know, if you got a head wound or something, you don't really want...
Hard
button. Shouldn't be having the caffeine, yeah, the free coffee. It's not the best coffee. And a hard roll.
Hard roll and a piece of cheese. There you go. Continental.
Put pressure on that.
So, yeah. with the hard roll. So yeah, we went and I was very proud of myself because I just found a perfect way to drive there just because I kind of knew where it was in my mind. I was like, oh, I know exactly where it is. I hope I'm right. And there it was. We were quite early though, because Lisa always wants to leave very, very early for things like this. So what the heck? So we got there, went in the wrong way, got directed to the right way, went in the right way. Then she got admitted and then they put her into a bed, you know, made her change out of her clothes, or her top anyway. And then she was laid down in bed and given a warm blanket. And so she was laying there. And it's kind of funny because they were very, I don't know if other hospitals are like this, but, and it's been a while since I was, I mean, I guess when I had cancer, I had to go in for an interview with the anesthesiologist. I don't know what I would call it, like a consultation with the anesthesiologist. Right. Like,
so you had to prepare like 3 funny stories.
And yes. What was weird, but I couldn't have been the first time, but maybe it was because like the very first, when I first went, was diagnosed with cancer, it was basically like Monday, you have cancer. Tuesday, go to this new doctor. Wednesday, get a CAT scan. Thursday, get admitted to the hospital.
Friday I'm in love.
Friday, I'm in love with the scalpel. Yeah, I got cut open on the table on Friday. So it went really fast. So it must have been the second time that I went for my stomach operation. That I went for a consultation because I remember like driving in with Lisa and then talking to this guy as he described what was going to happen. I'm just kind of like, and when we left, I was just kind of like, I don't know why we did this because I've already went through the operation. Like I assume it's going to be the same thing. And they didn't bother telling me then. They just like threw me into the lion's den. But anyway, but this time, so that Lisa's there in the hospital. So the assistant surgeon comes in and he's an Australian guy and he tells Lisa, you know, it explains what they're doing, how it's going to go, why they're doing it. And, you know, just asks if there's any questions. And I said, yeah, where are you from in Australia? Queensland. And then, Lisa said something. Oh, Queensland. Oh, that's where started. And he's like, yeah, that's right. That was a big thing when I was a kid. I guess she was researching something for horse mysteries. So she's, anyway, so they had a little conversation about this. And so then he went away. And then...
is that a horse disease?
I think it was originated in.
Oh, okay.
But it could be transmitted to other animals and to humans as well.
Okay.
And like, but there's a developed to prevent.
Don't give spoilers for horse mysteries.
Yeah, sorry, everyone. Oh, no, I better cut this part of the show. Damn it. Sorry, Lisa. These are things I just learned in the hospital while they're talking about it. And then we're sitting there blabbing. And then then the surgeon comes in, the doctor she was seeing, the retinologist you'd been seeing. And he came in and he talked to us a little bit. And then each time they came in, though, they went saying, so there's one person ahead of you, it's about an hour wait. And so the doctor said this, he's like, there's one person ahead of you, it's about an hour wait. And I said, what if that person were to, I don't know, disappear? Would Lisa get him right away? And he's like, apparently he had no sense of humor because he just went, oh, they drove 9 hours to get here. I don't think they're going to not want an operation.
Have you met my friend, Sir Wilfrid Laurier?
Lisa said, just ignore him. That's what she said to me, about me. She said, just ignore him. Yeah. Then they went away. And then later on, an anesthesiologist came in and introduced himself. And then he put a IV, the stint into Lisa's top of her, back of her hand for the sedative to go in. Then he left. And then a little bit later, another anesthesiologist came in, and he apparently was doing the actual, surgery,
mm-hmm.
would be administering the anesthetic. And she was awake for it. It was just a shot to the eyeball. No, it was a shot to under the eye to freeze that area, and then a sedative. So she was awake for the operation. But he explained what he was doing, blah, blah, blah. And he left. And I'm like, is everyone going to come in and introduce themselves? Yes. Because then this guy comes over. Then this guy comes over and his job basically was to like get Lisa comfortable in her bed, lay her down, get her head onto the headrest. And then he piled like 3 warm blankets on her, which Lisa was in high heaven for that whole thing. Like, this is the greatest experience of my life. And then
blankets are nice.
The warm blankets? I know. I know.
Yeah.
I was watching a review yesterday. I think on Instagram, I somehow get, maybe because I've like shown interest in them, I get this person's like, Amazon Canada deals, but she was doing a review of like a little thing you can put in your bathroom that has a towel warmer. Mm. So it's like a little thing that you can like set to warm your towel for 15 minutes or half an hour, or whatever. And then when you finish your bath, there's a warm towel in this little receptacle. I was like, oh, that's pretty good. It's like, our bathroom's so minuscule that it wouldn't fit, but it's kind of neat. But then, he left. And then finally this girl comes in. And I forgot to mention there was a nurse at the beginning who did all the blood, took her blood pressure and checked her heart rate and all that kind of stuff. And then, so then this girl comes in and she's the porter, introduced herself, and she's the one who's going to be taking Lisa to the ER or not, the operating room. So she wheels Lisa off and we were told was going to be a 4-hour thing was only 45 minutes. The 4 hours is that they get you to come in at 9:30 for a 12:30. But I can see they want to get you there early, so there's no, you won't be late. And because they didn't call us for the time for Lisa's surgery until the day before, around 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So they must also be waiting to know from the hospital when openings are available, so they can let you know. And then they don't want you missing that, so you better be there when But when they were done, there was a little bit of worry. They were worried that the lens whatever had happened to Lisa's eye, that there might not be enough integrity in her eyeball to support the new lens. And so I don't know what they were going to do then to support it, but that was a concern. But it wasn't a problem at all. Like, her eyeball was fine. And the doctor said it went excellent.
Oh, great.
And she went yesterday for her post-op appointment, and they took off the bandage and they looked at her eye and they said everything looks really good. So good news. So
that's great. That's been such an awful thing for her.
It's just been a real nightmare. So we're hoping that, in a week when she, because right now she has stitches in her eyeball.
Yeah.
So when she blinks, she can feel this little rough thing. So, but once those dissolve and once the eyes.
Oh, it's good that they're dissolving.
Yeah. I'm sure they are.
You don't have to go and like pull them out.
Yeah. Ugh, no, I'm pretty sure they're dissolving ones. I wouldn't swear to that, but I'm pretty sure. Once those are gone, then. And she's, had a week to recover, I think. Well, no, for sure. But even now, she's saying that she can't believe how well she can see.
Oh, that's so good.
Because they told her she'd be blind for 3 weeks, and she can see quite well. So it's pretty good. What is she seeing? Well, she's been laying on the couch watching Monk for 3 days straight.
It's so, back on Netflix.
Yeah, that's why she's watch. That's where she's watching it. I think she's like she was on season four yesterday when I was
see all the Vancouver locations.
Vancouver, yeah, yeah.
Well, it's okay. Listen, I've seen the first Monk.
Yeah,
and I've seen clips of Monk, but the first one is the art gallery.
They did some in Vancouver, then they think they did some in Toronto as well.
Okay.
Yeah, they got lured away by Toronto.
Because the first one has a guy in it. I'm gonna spoil a little bit of the first one. The killer, is someone I did a play with. Who played Elvis in a play where I was Red Robinson.
Yeah,
Ben Bass.
Okay.
And he used to be on a show called Forever Night as well. Huh. But I was like, hey, it's Ben. I hope he's the killer. He's the killer! Hooray!
Well, it's according to Lisa, the killer is usually the guy who goes out with the female companion of Monk who acts as his caretaker. If she falls in love with a guy during an episode, he'll be the murderer.
Sure.
This is Lisa's. Lisa's figured out the show's the pattern. She's like Monk. She's already figured out the pattern. There was an episode very early on, I've only seen glimpses of the show. I've not actually sat down and watched the whole show. But there was a character. It's supposed to be in San Francisco, and there's this cop character clearly from Newfoundland by accent, clearest Newfoundland accent. He played the father on Republic of Doyle.
Okay.
Yeah. So this absolute.
Which is a show that had another actor from that same play.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was Linda Boyd. She was also in Closer Walk with Roy Orbison.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Yeah, so but Lisa's doing well. She's been, and we had new windows put into our house on Wednesday. So we came home from the hospital, and our yard was a big mess of aluminum bits of aluminum thrown everywhere. All our old glass windows, old aluminum frame windows, stacked up against a tree, and they cleaned everything up except for they missed one part, and I don't know why they missed this by the stairs between the stairs that come out of the carport into the backyard, just to step up into the backyard, and they missed that. I don't know how.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
So why were you getting new windows?
Oh, because ours sucked.
Okay, so letting in cold and stuff.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're so old. They had an R value of positive 11. They would let 11 amounts of cold into the house.
Okay, I thought you were gonna say lead.
Yeah,
they would just let a certain amount of lead.
They had no anything that was of value to me where I kept all my books and stuff like that. There was all these faded books there from the windows because they were just plain old glass windows. They're aluminum framed. And just, not great. And so, and then also all the ones in the south, because our house faces south, the front of our house faces south, all those windows were blowing from the sun shining on them year in, year out for how many years I don't know when those windows were put in. They probably were original actually, because when they replace your windows, unless you're going to get new siding, they'll have to cut around the siding, mm-hmm. cut around to get because the windows have a flange that's attached to the front of your house. And so they have to cut a section of, around it so they can remove the window, and then they'll put wood, like a wood facing in to fill in that area they've cut out. And so now all our windows have this wood facing around them. But it didn't before. So these windows were 50 years old. They're from 1974.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So they'd done service, but not really great service, because we really could not see out of our front window. It was just like a foggy day in London to look out our window at any time of the year, any day. You know,
but on the other side, now you have to put on pants when you walk.
That is the problem. Yes, I pointed that out to Lisa when I was standing in front of the window and pretended to pull my pants down.
And she said, "Put on a toga." I'm like, "I hate them. You know this about me.
I don't like to dangle." So then, so that was exciting. And so we're getting. And so also, the bathroom thing that's been going on for a long time.
It's
now.
You know what? It's I'm disappointed at the start of it all. We didn't make it a segment on the show. That could have been new deck talk.
It could have been, but much like deck talk, I passed the baton to professionals to get the job done. So after I did the floor, after I tiled the floor, which to me was an absolute mess, nightmare, ridiculously bad, what a horrible, and everyone else looks at it and goes, looks fine. You don't see what I see, which is it's a mess. Because it could have been so good, but I wrecked it. I just didn't do it right. If I could do it again, I know I could do it way better, obviously. Maybe, who couldn't, I guess. But there's just so many little things I learned doing it the one time. I should have tiled the shop floor or something as an experiment. But anyway, after that, I just admitted defeat. And I just couldn't even imagine putting all the tile on the wall, how I would do that. And it's kind of good that I didn't, because I had no idea how to do it. And I probably would have kept going up until it just all fell down again. Because the person who's doing it, he does like 3 feet and that's it. Then he goes, he's done. Because okay. he can't do any more because otherwise it'll sort of sink down and fall apart. So he lets it dry and then comes back and continues on with the job. And yeah, so that's good. So the professionals are doing it. A guy came in and painted it for us, which was nice. So it's all painted inside. We bought a vanity already. So my brother-in-law came over on Tuesday, tempted by pizza, and we moved the vanity upstairs. The vanity was fine. It was the stone countertop part of it that was heavy because it was in this big wooden crate. We had to carry it up the stairs. And then we took it out of the crate. We're like, wow, it's light. This is a crate all the weight? But I think it was a combination of both because neither was very heavy on their own. But together, wow. So yeah, so did that. We put it in, put the edging along where it goes along the wall to act as like a backsplash. And then I discovered that the outlet in the bathroom for your razor blade is too low. So the thing hits it. So now I've got to raise it up a couple inches. So that's great. Couldn't have done that before I put the drywall on. And then the lessons learned. Measure your vanity. Measure your entire vanity before you...
What price vanity?
And then then I was looking at... I was looking at the height of the vanity, where the tile's going to be, and then where our mirror goes. And I realized when I put the mirror in, I'm going to be covering up the place where the light went in.
I don't know what it's called.
The box that you, all the wiring for the light. So that's too low. So apparently I have to raise that up, but I'm going to pretend that that's fine. And that, you know, we're going to do the mirror ourselves. Just, you guys finish up everything, grout it all. We'll get the toilet in, do all that kind of stuff for me. Do the plumbing. Everything's done. Go away. When you're gone and no one's around, then I will like cut out part of the drywall, move that light socket up, put the drywall back in, patch it, and we'll pretend that basically if I cut it properly, I can just turn it upside down. So then the hole will be on the right side, and then I'll probably won't be though because it's probably not centered. Fooey. Well, anyway. I'll figure something out. But yeah, so I'll have to do that. But I just don't want to, because I have to do this, the outlet before the tiling gets done. So I'll just do that one. I'll pretend that it's amazing how low it is.
All right. So I'm going to ask our listeners, what's the name of this segment? The bathroom segment.
Dear John.
Oh, it's not bad. Okay. If you can beat Dear John, let us know. Maybe we'll give you a sticker or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the way, if you're in the mood for getting Sneaky Dragon prizes, we have an upcoming show that's going to be our question show.
Yeah.
And that is episode 650, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. I never get the number right on this stuff. Anyway, if you ask us any questions, for each question, you're entered in a draw, and you could win some Bitcoins. We're not doing that. That's a lie. That's a dirty lie. but you could win
Dogecoin.
A fun prize. And then, you know, everyone who enters will get something. So that's our guarantee to you. We've done this in the past. It's gone insanely long. So we're going to have some comfy chairs, and we're going to do it that way. So cool. There you are. You know what's an interesting thing? This week, I went to see an optometrist. I've seen an ophthalmologist for the most part.
Did you tell the optometrist you were going behind their back?
Well, they referred.
Oh, okay.
That's the only way you can, so it was fine.
Okay.
But about 10 years ago, I started to have some vision problems where, you know, I found out that I, because of like a blood pressure thing, something ruptured in the back and I was starting to kind of go blind. So I was sent to an ophthalmologist. Ended up getting my own like needle in the eye thing, which I didn't think was a thing at the time. Mm-hmm. Like I thought, that's not a thing. And that was a thing. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's a surprise.
Yeah.
Well, it must be painless. Wait, no, it's not. It feels like a needle in the eye. Oh, that's interesting. Sorry to say that out loud. That's a disturbing thing. But I saw this fella every year just for, you know, updates. And yeah, it was always getting better. And so far, so good. But then around COVID time, didn't see him because wasn't doing those kind of things. And he has since retired. Mm. So I needed to get together with another person, ophthalmologist. But the only way to do that is to go to an optometrist, which is, you don't really have to go to an optometrist if you're seeing an ophthalmologist, because it's like they're the big shot.
Yeah.
For the first time in many years, I went to an optometrist.
Okay.
And they gave me, I've got cataracts that aren't an issue yet.
Okay.
They said, probably in your 70s, You know, you'll be getting that. And she went, oh, but there's good news now. And I was like, oh, the good
news.
They're not
going to talk about the bionic eyes, are they?
No. Okay. They were saying, though, that basically it's when they're there, for the most part, they then fix your eyes as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like kind of getting LASIK like another mm-hmm. time. It's like, oh, yeah. And so that day, yeah, since we're there, we'll fix your eyes as well.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, that's you don't hear that kind of thing quite often. It's like, you know, when you're in your 70s, we're going to give you a nice old upgrade.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to see nice and crisp and everything will be good. Like, oh, that's something to, so I guess, look forward to. But again, because Lisa had such troubles.
Yeah.
It's like a little in the back of my head was going, yeah. But yeah.
Well, I mean.
It's a rare thing.
The thing I was going to say, yeah, I mean, talking with my cousin Jason, co-host of Refresh My Memory. Listen to the newest episode about Grizzly Adams, everyone. It's a fun episode.
Mm-hmm. I like his hesitation at the very beginning of the episode with his name.
Yeah.
Jason Dedrick. It's like, were you thinking you were Dave Dedrick?
He might have been. He's probably still like feeling the weight of suggesting Grizzly Adams was just weighing down on him so much.
He there was a lot of glares when he came and sat down. Everyone was like, hi. How was your last? How was your night before this? Everyone's partner left during that. Like most of the partners stuck around for each of the movies.
Yeah.
This one, it was like, and we're done. There's only so much we're gonna put up with. Bye.
Only one partner watched it. Jennifer.
Did she?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought she took off.
He mentioned that she'll never watch any of the movies that he watches, but she did sit down to watch that one with him.
Okay.
And it was not, but anyway, this is what you watch. Talking with Jason about what happened with Lisa, he was really surprised, and he said, "Yeah, it's just, you know, I would never think twice about recommending cataract surgery to anybody because it's just such a surefire 100% thing. It seems like, you know, it's so rare that it goes wrong. So, you know, you got to be a pioneer sometimes. I'll let Lisa do the pioneering, but
you mean like Grizzly Adams?
Yes." She's got to leave me.
So go live in the woods.
Knit her own, sew her own pants.
Don't have a plot to your life. Abandon your kids. When they find you, tell them, I don't want to go home with you.
Well, I mean, to be fair, that she was growing up at that point, you know.
Hmm?
Yeah. You know. Eh.
Oh, that's a father's love.
It is weird, isn't it? 70s father.
And still not clear on who the little girl was living with.
Yeah.
There was no
mom?
Did you see one?
I've seen the movie once.
Same here.
I saw the
and
movie
I won't be seeing it again.
In 1974.
Oh, okay.
So.
All right. Well.
I told you that. My grandma took me. Oh, I guess maybe we didn't talk about the show. My grandma took me to see it.
Okay.
When I was a kid. Because it was like a.
It had been bad.
I think she thought it would be good. Like, I mean, it was a popular movie.
Yeah, it was like number 9, I think, it's the movie or something.
One of those,
7 or 9, one yeah. of the two.
I think
beat the conversation.
Well, yes. I think a lot of films beat the conversation that year. But, I mean, if you probably if you looked at the movies that came out that year, there probably wasn't like a lot of like family entertainment. It was probably like a pretty, you know, sourpuss year. It was, you know, like Watergate conspiracy movies and paranoid thrillers and all that kind of stuff. And this movie probably seemed like, oh, that's perfect for kids. Let's take... I'll take David to see that. He can come over and spend the night. We'll go to see a movie. So I went with my grandma and two of her friends. And I remember quite vividly. I don't even remember
the movie. It was number 8.
Number 8.
Yeah.
Grizzly Adams.
Yep.
What was number 1?
You know what? Let's go. I want to do a list.
Okay.
This
time
is fun.
Time for me to guess?
This is fun.
Oh, man. So it's 1974, right?
Yeah, 1974. You know what? I'm going to start with, are you down with a list?
I'm down.
All right. Okay. Because if you have anything else to talk about, this shit kills about a half hour. You know how this goes. Everyone buckle up. If you don't like a list, go ahead. Okay. So this is the top grossing movies of 1974.
Yeah.
All right. I'm actually going to start with like 21.
Oh, okay.
Which is the James Bond movie. Which is weird.
74. So
yeah, maybe it like.
That Man with the Golden Gun, I think.
That's correct. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Okay. If you're going like the 22 movie, that would be the Groove Tube.
The Groove Tube. I wouldn't have got that one. But that's one of those kind of like Kentucky Fried Movie, one of those compilation sketch movies, I think.
Yeah, there was a re-release at the 25 slot.
Okay.
That was a very, very long movie.
Gone with the Wind?
You got it. Absolutely. Yeah.
And to be honest, I was going to guess that before you said read along movie.
Right. Okay. Well, let's go 20 then.
Okay.
Okay. So this is from July 1st. It came out. This is a revenge movie.
A revenge movie. 1974.
Yeah. Violent revenge movie.
Straw Dogs?
No.
Okay.
No, but it launched a series that had...
Death Wish.
Yep. You got it. Okay. So number 19. This is considered a classic.
Okay.
This has, you know, one of the least fun incest plots. I mean, the most fun incest plot is Back to the Future. We got to admit that.
Okay,
much.
That's.
But like, you know. And if you don't get this one, never mind, Dave. Never mind.
I'm not getting the hint, but that's okay.
Never mind, Dave. It's this movie. Never mind.
Oh, that's not helping me at all. Could you tell me the director of it?
Well, it sounds like you're getting nosy. You don't want to be nosy, do you, Dave? People get nosy, you get little troubles.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Chinatown.
Yeah,
okay.
There
okay.
We go.
Yeah, Roman Polanski.
Yeah.
If you told me that, I would have got Chinatown right away.
Sure.
But that's too much of a clue.
Never mind, Jake. It's Chinatown.
Yeah, Chinatown.
And,
yes.
Getting nosy, I get it now. Flick. Okay, well, none of this is making sense now. Okay, 18.
Well, this depends, like, because movies stayed around for a long time in those days. So
okay, so this movie, without looking at it here, mm-hmm. Clint Eastwood movie.
Yep, 74.
Mm-hmm. So it's blank and blank. Does that help you at all? Blank and blank. Three-word title.
With an and in it?
And people have compared it to the Outlaw Josie Wales.
Yeah. Huh. But it has two names in it.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, it's a Clint Eastwood movie. How about that?
That's funny, and I think you think I would know it because I feel like I've seen all of them. So not Two Meals for Sister Sarah, not Play Misty for Me, not...
Catherine Bach is the love interest. George Kennedy is in it, so is Jeff Bridges.
Oh, Thunderbolt and Lightfoot. Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, that's a good movie. Ever seen it?
Nope.
Highly recommend it.
What's it about?
It's about...
I see him aiming a gun at me in the poster. Which is a lot of Clint Eastwood movies.
Clint Eastwood is a criminal who's kind of on the lam, hiding out from his former associates or something that went over a robbery that went wrong. And then somehow he, with Jeff Bridges as this very enthusiastic young kid, are reteamed with George Kennedy. And I can't remember the name of the actor now. He was he's the dad of the actress who is in like Cape Fear and Natural Born Killers and
I completely know her name and it's like escaping
me. Yeah. Anyway, so and then they kind of like decide that they're gonna I guess there was one other partner and something happened at the end of the robbery, like there's some sort of, you know, double crossing or whatever. But and no one knows what happened to the money. So they decide they're gonna restage the robbery.
Okay.
But it's a good movie, it's really good.
Okay, this the next one is a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a German name.
Okay. Oh.
Does that help you at all? I'm trying to get any descriptions here. It was released as Chariots of the Gods.
Okay, Chariots of the Gods, yeah. Yeah, that's what it's called in English. I wouldn't know what the German name is.
Oh, okay, all
right,
very good.
That's the one about, you know...
Erungen an die Zuck...
Yeah, I know. It seems weird that some old German guy would come up with a really racist theory about aliens, but that's what that is.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Okay. So number 16 is based on a short book.
Short book.
Yep. Short book. Short classic book.
Great Gatsby?
Yep. That's one thing
with Mia Farrow. And
I'm going to read the classics. Let's see what books we got here. Yeah, I'm going to read this one.
Yeah, sure.
Done on the ride home.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 15. Also had many sequels to it.
Oh, really?
Horror movie.
Oh, The Exorcist?
Considered a classic. Nope.
Not The Exorcist. Okay. Lots of...
sequels.
Sequels to a horror movie.
Yep.
74. Who directed it?
Okay. That's going to give it away.
Oh, is it?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, then don't tell me that. Give me one more clue then.
I'll tell you that William Vale was in it.
William Vale?
Yeah. I'll tell you this.
Okay.
John Larroquette was in it as the narrator.
That's right. Oh my God. We talked about this a while ago.
Yeah.
Now I can't remember this.
Okay. Toby Hooper was the director.
Oh, okay. Yes. That's Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yep.
I didn't even know there was a narration to that movie, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'd have to go back and watch it.
Okay, this one. This is a good. I've never heard of this one before.
Okay.
It's like comparisons. They say create your own comparison chart, buddy. All right. So this one is Peter Fonda and Roddy McDowall.
Peter Fonda and Roddy McDowall?
Yeah, it's 1974 movie. Four words in the title. Two of them are names.
Dirty Harry and Crazy Larry, or Crazy Larry and Dirty Mary, or
Dirty Mary, Crazy Larry. Larry.
Yeah.
What was that?
With what was the actress's name? No, she was in quite a few movies that were, because she was in Straw Dogs as well.
Okay.
The actress in that movie. What was her name? Anyway, I don't know. It's one of those. It's one of those kind of car crash movies, is how I think of it.
Okay. So 1974 once again. This is four words.
Okay.
Again, and this is all right. So of the four leads.
Yep.
I'll give you the fourth lead.
Okay.
Alex Rocco.
Alex Rocco. Okay.
Do you know who Alex Rocco is?
I kind of
gravelly voiced fella.
Yeah, yeah.
Third lead is Loretta Swit.
Oh, Alex Rocco, Loretta Swit.
Second lead is James Caan,
Who
is one of the title characters. Lead is Alan Arkin.
Oh, that movie. Freaky and the Bean.
Say it again. Say it right. It's not Freaky.
Oh, is that Freaky? Not Freaky. Freebie and the Bean.
Freebie and the Bean. That's right.
One of the first, you know, the first time. Yeah, it's kind of an outrageous movie. It's kind of, it's a movie that hasn't dated well. Let's put it that way. I saw it in the theater of all. Oh, no, I saw it on television.
Okay.
When I was a kid.
So the, okay, so now we're up to number 12.
Okay.
Are you still with us, audience? Are you guessing at home and having a good time? Yeah, or just like, tell me the tragedies in your life. Get to the personal shit. Okay.
All right.
Very good. Number 12.
Mm-hmm.
This was a family movie.
Okay.
It's the kind of movie that I would have to see with my sister. I'd be forced to see.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So it's one of those situations.
Okay.
So, which is weird to think that this movie didn't do as well as The Life and Times of Grizzly Adams.
Yeah.
Feels like this was the more popular one.
Sure.
Many sequels.
Many sequels.
Yeah, many sequels. Yeah, and the lead actor went on to do other roles where they were not there. Okay, let's just say that the title character is also the name of the lead. The title is the lead's name.
Okay.
Yeah, don't know if that helps you at all.
Huh? Does it star Robert Redford?
No. Local acting school fella, Peter Breck, was the fourth lead in this.
Peter Breck.
I don't think it would help you to say that Patsy Garrett was the lead. It also starred Alan Fluzat and Cynthia Smith, or that Joe Camp was the director, screenwriter, and producer. I don't know if any of that will help you.
But it's a movie that, so it's a family movie.
Very much so.
Based around
one of the first movies I remember crying at.
Based around a farm.
As a little, not really a farm.
Oh no!
If I'm not remembering, there was a lot of grass around.
Okay,
but I don't remember it being a farm. Maybe it was a farm.
So it's not like, is it like a dog movie?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Benji?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Number 11. I cried because Benji got kicked.
And really?
I was like,
I read.
Like, I'm crying at a movie.
I read the novel because I was in.
I read the novel. Oh, you have to read the novel, is what I said to my parents. You simply must.
I probably
you don't get the subtext.
I probably wasn't allowed to go see it in the theater. Not that I wasn't allowed to, but I probably wasn't able to see it in the theater. So I sufficed with reading the book.
Okay,
I made up for it.
All right. So this one is the next one is a Disney sequel.
Disney sequel.
Yep. That went on to do other. There were other sequels and remakes of this. In the future.
Hmm. Is it the Shaggy D.A.? No?
It is not.
Is it about an animal?
It is not. It's not about an animal. It's a very, very nice family movie. Video released on Buena Vista.
Buena Vista.
Yep.
But it's not animated. It's a live action film.
It is a live action movie, yes.
Yeah.
And has action in it. A lot of action. No violence. Not real violence.
Oh, it's not Herbie.
Keep going.
But it's not Herbie the Love Bug.
No.
So it'll be Herbie in Monte Carlo?
What's the sequel
to Herbie Goes Bananas?
No.
Herbie Rides Again?
Yes. Thank you for going through all the Herbies.
You're welcome.
And you know the story with Tom Lennon and his partner Ben, I forget his name, Garant? They were writing the new Herbie movie.
The Lindsay Lohan one. Yeah.
Yeah, and they quit because they wanted the car to do something that they went, well, we can't do that. We're not going
to
do that.
They wanted to lift its wheel and pee oil on someone?
No, though, then Michael Bay went, ha-ha. No, they wanted the car to smile. Want the bumper to and they went, it can't, it's a car.
Yeah, yeah.
It can't bend the bumper. And it was like such a thing that they were like, we're going to die on this hill. And they're like, well, you, the duty, you're fired. Well, we quit then, sir. And they left.
Wow.
Yep. Strong stance.
Imagine not wanting money.
I'm sure they wanted money. Okay. This one, 1974, this had a lot of celebrities in it.
1974 had a lot of celebrities in it.
Yeah, you'll
probably guess. Is it a murder movie?
Sure.
Is it like Murder by Death?
Nope.
Is it...
Ingrid Bergman is it.
It's not a comedy.
No.
It's just a big movie. So it's... And then there were none.
Nope.
Murder on the Nile.
Vanessa Redgrave.
Oh, sorry. Orient Express. Orient Express.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, that's right. Grizzly Adams beat Orient Express. That's right. Murder on the Orient Express.
Yep. Okay. Now we're into number nine. Let's see. I'm trying to see if they had the director here. They don't have the director. They got weird listings of the cast. They don't have the lead. Anyway, this was a prison movie.
Okay.
Also a sports movie.
Oh, The Longest Yard.
Yeah, that was probably too easy. Then we're on to our friend Mr. Adams. And then we move on from there to a thriller.
Oh.
Thrilling.
Yeah.
Tense. Oh, boy. What's going to happen? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Did this one star Robert Redford?
No, it did not star Robert Redford.
Okay.
Nope.
But it's a thriller.
And it was this was a franchise. This one had a lot of sequels.
Really?
With only one cast member returning for every one of the movies. Hmm. In fact, I watched all of them a couple of years ago.
Oh, is it Airport? Oh, is it the thriller?
No,
oh,
yeah, you're
is
right.
It, is it Airport?
Keep going.
Oh, Airport 74, I guess. Airport 70.
I'm sorry, Airport 1975.
1975. Well, they're a year ahead of themselves.
I know, you're getting a little too big for your britches there, Airport. Number six, considered one of the greatest movies of all time.
Considered one of the greatest movies of all time.
If not the greatest movie of all time.
74.
Many people would say this is the greatest movie of all time. Yes.
Huh. It came out in 74.
1974. I remember it came on TV and my dad went, you can't watch this. Wouldn't let me watch it.
It's too good. Too good for you.
No, I thought it was too violent.
Oh, too violent.
It was too adult. And I was like, oh, now I really want to
see it. Is it a French connection?
No.
Hmm. Greatest movie of all time.
Yep.
Violent.
Yep. Bruno Kirby's in it.
Bruno Kirby's
I'll
in
throw
it.
In like...
Godfather 2.
Yep.
Yes, he's the friend of Don Corleone.
All right, so this one, thriller.
Okay.
It's another thriller. Things are thrilling.
Okay.
Thrilling things are transpiring.
Sure.
Also, a lot of celebrities in this one.
Another celebrity movie?
Kind of, I'd say, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, celebrities. Yep.
Hmm. Is it a comedy or is it a... No. Oh, it's a thriller, you said, with a lot of celebrities.
Yes.
A thriller with a lot of celebrities. So is it like...
Like Genevieve Bujold. And Mark Robson was the director. And John Williams was the composer.
Mark Robson was the director. With Genevieve Bujold.
Wait.
Not Coma.
No. It also had George Kennedy in it. Star what? Of Air.
he's probably in Airport 1975 as well.
Oh, he was in all of them. That was the thing. Yeah. Of all the Airport movies, he's the only consistent character.
Really? Okay.
And then gets more sexual as you go along to the point where like there's a lot of stuff of like him like meeting the pretty ladies and having like full on sex scenes and we're like, we don't need this. This wasn't what the sequels require. It was more of Kennedy's shirtlessness.
People weren't asking for this.
It was like watching the Skipper from Gilligan's Island. I was like, you want to see him and Ginger get together, right? No. Okay, well, here you go. Enjoy this movie. Walter Matthau's in this movie as well.
Walter Matthau's in this movie. 74.
Would it help if I said Ava Gardner was in this movie? Would it help if I said Lauren Green was in this movie?
So it's one of like Earthquake or one of those.
There
kind
you
of
go.
Movies. Okay.
Yep, that's it.
An Irwin
Richard
Allen.
Roundtree.
Irwin Allen movie.
And Charlton Heston.
In Sense Around.
Mm-hmm. Okay, number four is a comedy. Considered one of the greatest comedies of all time.
The Goodbye or the Heartbreak Kid?
The Goodbye Godfather.
The Heartbreak Kid?
No.
Okay. 74. Greatest comedies of all time. Is it?
I don't know if you guys are having fun with this, but I am. These are all kind of fun movies to think about, so I'm enjoying myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
When we do get the answer, then I'm like, oh, that is a good movie.
Yeah.
Because when you were talking about The Godfather 2, like greatest movie of all time, it's a hard clue because you're like, oh, what do people consider? What do I consider the greatest movie of all time? Or what do other people consider the greatest movie?
But when they list the greatest movies of all time, usually The Godfather or Godfather 2 is
sure,
up there.
Sure, yeah.
And when they're considering the greatest comedies of all time, this one is usually like up there as well. And if I told you any of the cast members...
Is it Blazing Saddles?
No. And if I told you any of the cast members,
yeah,
you would immediately go, well, yeah, of course it's this.
Huh. So it's not a Mel Brooks movie.
Yes, it is.
Oh, so Young Frankenstein.
There you go. Yep. This one.
That is a very good movie, Young Frankenstein.
Beautifully shot.
It's
beautifully delivered.
It's
was my boyfriend.
That's
so good.
You got it. That's one of the most important parts of the film is how lovingly it details that style of movie from that era, and why High Anxiety falls a little short of that because it's an attempt to parody Hitchcock without using Hitchcockian, methods or whatever to how you film it. You know, like it doesn't have Hitchcock's kind of like trademark elements in the how the film's made. So it feels kind of sloppy.
It starts with a gay joke that's like all right, well there's our that joke.
Yeah,
but then
yeah,
it's like it's also shot like sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's shot like a modern movie. And you're like, all right. But like, you know how Hitchcock movies were shot, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So let's see that.
Yeah.
Whereas even if you don't like it as a comedy, you got to go, man, Young Frankenstein, this is pretty.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Screen.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
really good impressive cinematography. And then you watch
Dracula Dead and loving it and just going, how is this the same guy? How?
It's a sloppy. Yeah, gets sloppy. All right. Where are we at now? Number three?
Boy, this one, what? That's not at all. No. Okay, anyway, this was a franchise.
Okay.
This is kind of a bit of a revenge franchise.
Okay.
Kind of that. you know, I guess it was popular enough to be the number three movie, though I've never seen it. They say, compare it to Blazing Saddles. I say, no, you don't.
Because it's a revenge film.
I think so, yeah.
Is it a Western? Is that why they're comparing it to Blazing Saddles?
How about this? How about this for a little help?
Okay.
One of the cast members is Sasheen Littlefeather.
Oh, okay. So that's going to be... You already said the Outlaw Josie Wales.
Okay. Well, it's not that.
It's not that, though. But has it featured Clint Eastwood?
Not that I'm aware of.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
The star is the director.
It's not Billy Jack.
Yep.
Oh.
Could I get the full name, please?
Oh, is this the trial of Billy Jack?
Thank you very
much. So this is a sequel to Billy Jack.
Sure.
Directed by Tom...
Oh, it was also Billy Jack. It was Tom Loughlin?
Tom Loughlin, yeah, that's right, yeah. It's interesting, the first one has Howard Hessman in it.
Oh.
Because it has performances by some kind of San Francisco improv group that he was in, and they perform in the film. They do some stuff in the movie, kind of, I don't know why. But anyway, yeah, it's a Billy Jack. I never watched The Trial of Billy Jack. I think because I think it's in the 50 worst films of all time, the book by the guys who did like the Golden Turkey Awards books and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, it was the number three movie of 1974.
Mm-hmm. It was a very popular counterculture thing.
Howard Hessman was such a weird thing for me when I was a kid because I loved, you know, WKRP, and that's really all I knew him from.
Yeah.
And then like he was a guest host on Saturday Night Live once and it was so dark. Mm-hmm. So dark. And like he was like, oh, he's got a background that I'm not aware of.
Yeah, here. Yeah, yeah.
And he was going and just like, you know, people are scared of talking about John Belushi. And I was like, hey, what's blue and sings alone? Dan Aykroyd. And he just did a whole bunch of like dead John Belushi jokes.
Oh my God.
And I was like, I knew John. He would have loved that. Anyway, we've got and like the musical guest, and everyone's like, whoa, what's happening? And yeah, it just was like
weird,
real dark and real weird.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'd see him in like some kind of like really dark movies as well. And then all of a sudden he's head of the class. And
yeah, I'm starting to wonder. I don't think he was, but I think he was part of like some comedy group or thing. I don't think he was a digger, which were like an improv troupe in, but they weren't like comedy improv. They were like kind of street theater.
Yeah.
The Diggers, they would do kind of street theater or conceptual art, but they also were a big feeding the poor, feeding the homeless, and like all the kind of young kids who'd moved to San Francisco dreaming of like becoming famous or becoming part of this hippie scene or whatever. And then just they got there and it's become drug addicts and it's an awful mess. And so they're kind of part of like feeding those people and trying to maintain some sort of, Peter Coyote, the actor, was a digger.
Okay.
But,
he was a part of the group, The Committee.
The Committee, yeah, there you go, yeah, yeah.
And they did a whole bunch of sketches, apparently, on the Dick Cavett Show, including one sketch with Janis Joplin.
Huh. Yeah, because they were San Franciscoites, so they would have known her from... They probably would have performed at the Fillmore and stuff like that in between bands, because it's cool, man.
And then he was on the Bob Newhart Show as Mr. Plager. And what was Mr. Plager's secret that he revealed... Later on in the series.
I don't know.
He was gay.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was going to guess that. I should have just guessed it.
You should have guessed that.
Damn it.
But you didn't. He was also on Dragnet. He also was on the Andy Griffith Show. That's neat. Okay. So we're on to number two now. This is also celebrities. So many celebrities.
We're going to make this movie a big movie. Including, the Poseidon Adventure.
Would it help you if I said Fred Astaire?
Oh, the Towering Inferno.
Yeah, that's it. With Robert Wagner, Richard Chamberlain, William Holden,
Steve McQueen,
Dabney Coleman, Faye Dunaway, and everyone's favorite, O.J. Simpson, making things a little more dangerous.
It's weird, isn't Steve McQueen in that movie as well? And
probably
Charlton Heston or something.
Could be. Let's see this. Let's see if I can see the poster here. Come on, show me. Yeah, Steve McQueen, Paul Newman, William Holden. Why did you choose Paul them?
Newman. Yeah, I thought Paul Newman was in it as well, but when you didn't say Paul Newman, I was like, well, this is weird.
This is a weird list.
Yeah.
You know, the things they'll mention, you know, so who's the best boy? Okay.
And who was finally, the gaffer?
What was the number one movie of 1974? You've mentioned it already.
Oh, I did?
Yeah, you mentioned it actually twice.
The Outlaw Josie Wales?
Nope. No, it wasn't The Outlaw Josie Wales. This clue will give it to you. Comedy. Considered by some the best comedy of all time. Say you couldn't make it today. They're wrong. But yeah.
Blazing Saddles?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you be able to make Blazing Saddles nowadays? Because of the black part of it?
Yeah. Like there is...
Fun of Hedy Lamarr?
Yeah.
Can't do that anymore.
Yeah. It's weird whenever they talk about that...
They make fun of Hedy Lamarr.
Somehow they'll mention, you know, like one of the most controversial scenes they had there was the fart scene. I'm just like... There's farts on every kid show now. Yes. It was Ren and Stimpy. It was like all fart episodes. And that was like on Nickelodeon at like 7 in the morning. What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, well, how about, you know, yeah, all the, you know, the use of the N-word. Yeah, have you seen a Quentin Tarantino goddamn movie? You know, yeah, you can. You absolutely can. You just got to do what Mel Brooks did, which is you get Richard Pryor to write it.
That's right. Yeah, you get people who... Can you do this in a way that's hip, that makes it work, you know?
Well, and again, like Cliff Nesteros tells the story of like, you know, when you're saying like, oh, you can't do nothing nowadays. You can't say nothing. And it's like, yeah, in 74, when this was like the number one movie, Richard Pryor was doing a stand-up set somewhere and got arrested for doing the same words that were in the number one movie that he wrote that was over there. But the police came and arrested him. I was like, yeah, you couldn't do it then either.
No.
Like, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, that's probably what outraged Lenny Bruce was that what he could do in New York when he went to Chicago, he got arrested for it there, you know? And just the fact that there was no, it wasn't the same across the board, that it was jurisdictional, that one city, you know, the highly Catholic police force would arrest you for making jokes about religion, about Catholicism and stuff like that. But in New York... You know, you were just left alone to do whatever you wanted.
Yeah.
You know, in LA, they would tag you for something different, you know.
Yeah, it sounds weird to me. Like when I used to do stand up, when I was very, very starting doing stand up, and like I played my first show in Abbotsford and had some religious jokes in there. And stony silence.
Mm.
And people said to me afterwards, yeah, this is the Bible Belt. You can't say that kind of thing here. And to me, it was like, this is an hour out of town.
Yeah.
Like, so you're saying an hour out of town, everyone's attitude towards this completely changes?
Yeah.
That just seemed ridiculous to me. It's
different now.
We're watching all the same TV shows. You're listening to the same music.
They weren't.
But you are going to church on Sunday.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
They weren't. Listen to music. They weren't watching TV shows.
So weird.
They like like heavily Mennonite there. So people didn't go see movies. They weren't allowed to bowl, couldn't play cards.
Yeah.
You know, and Mary faced a lot of that when she, in her care home. Like, there'd be people who would object to them doing bingo because that's gambling, you know? So yeah, it was a heavily rural area, and a rural area will be very conservative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was almost all farms there.
Mennonite seems like it would be a good name for what Wonder Woman's weakness is.
Yes.
So one thing that like stops her is Mennonite.
Yeah.
You know, it's a rock with the power of men.
Mm.
And it's like, ugh! Like, just leaves her defenseless.
That's right. It smells like cologne. What's rock? It smells like high karate. I bet you this could stop Wonder Woman.
Yep. She's fine with bullets, but not this. high karate ads would have been on in 1974 when all of those movies were playing.
I'm sure they would have.
Yeah. Which, if you hadn't seen a high karate ad, the idea is it's a guy slaps him on as a little clone, and then women try to kiss him, and he fights them. Fights them off.
Yeah.
And even as a kid, I just went, well, don't fight him off. What's wrong with you? Isn't this what you... Oh, here, take all this money as well. No! Smash,
get that money away from me. Yeah.
Everything good and delicious food.
Girls, gross.
No, I don't like... Yeah, that was the thing. It kind of made sense if it was written by like a 5-year-old boy. It was like, no cooties for you.
I don't want cooties. This cologne also stops cooties.
Cooties was a weird thing. Cooties was a weird thing, and then that there was a toy that was like the cootie toy, and it was like for sale with Don't Break the Ice and Ants in Your Pants.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and you had to build a cootie. And it was like, well, isn't cooties the worst thing in the world? It would just be like having a game now called Herpes. And you got to build like the Herpes virus.
Well, they do have that game. No.
Do they?
No.
Okay. Roll doubles. Simplex 2.
Right. That's more complicated. Now you got to tell everyone.
I'm going to go to the world of letters.
Oh, letters.
So we asked, what does your significant other or spouse or what have you think of this show? Sounds like we're fishing for compliments. Let's see what happens. And when you've been broke, what were your survival strategies? We talked a little bit about that last week. So Lee Meadows writes us.
Oh.
And has some things to say about AI.
AI?
Right. So what I'm going to do is artificially generate his letter right now. Okay. I'm going to read that instead. Using the things that he's already written.
Okay.
No, I don't know. And maybe Lee isn't a fella. I don't know. Could be both. I am so sorry for anyone who's stressed out by the current rise of what is considered to be AI, neural network, image generation, and you are not alone. Clearly not alone. As a trip to any post of an image made with such tools, or even appears that it may be made with such tools on social media, people are making their voices heard loud and clear. And I do think that's one reason that this tech won't necessarily lead to the dystopia that everyone seems to assume it will. AI images are not tolerated in most artistic spaces, and they won't be anytime soon. Having said that, neural filters in Photoshop are AI. AI doesn't just mean a tool that allowed users to type in a prompt and get an image. The definition is complex. And some people would say nothing currently available is AI. It's mostly machine learning. Anyway, neural filters and other Adobe AI tools, such as Generative Fill, are AI, in the most commonly used sense of the term. These tools were trained on image sets, just like Midjourney, etc. Adobe owns the rights to the images they use for training, and I believe this will be the way of the future for other companies now, largely thanks to the outrage from artists and others concerned about intellectual property.
Mm.
There's never been a tool that just goes online and takes images during the generation process. During training, very little information is taken from any single image. I'm not trying to justify the current AI image tools, but I would like to try and provide some perspective and maybe help ease some of the more intense levels of fear that are out there right now. Love the show, and I hope I did not upset anyone by broaching this subject. No, Lee, we're happy to talk about that and that.
That's very interesting. I do think it's interesting when you said that most of what we are seeing right now as AI is machine learning. So it's not true artificial intelligence in the sense that it's... I would assume that artificial intelligence that isn't machine learning would mean something that is learning on its own, is developing its own understanding, making its own... You know what I mean? Whereas what we have right now, our people are programming AI programs, I guess AI in quotation marks in this case, to do things, right? Whether it's scraping for images or or filtering for you know, filtering for information and find, you know, and putting together like packages of information that way.
Yeah.
Like that can be done, you know, obviously that's kind of like good AI in a way, because it's just like labor saving AI, you know, saving us the trouble of having ourselves to go through magazines and finding the highlights of things and then, you know, reading those and then highlighting, you know, it's just giving us these kind of digest versions of things, you know. It's further putting Reader's Digest out of work. I mean, it's already happened, you know, but, and then, yeah, I do think it's stuff like neural filters and things of that where I think it's more interesting in terms of like, or more useful for us in terms of like photography and stuff like that, or things that where it'll upscale images. So if you have like low res images, that'll upscale them into higher res for you. And so it fills in the missing pixels. You know, or it generates a new background so you can erase things from images you don't like. Like, I think that's very interesting and exciting. It just makes it easier for people. Like, I, you know, now I'm like, oh man, I still wish I did title cards, because, like, you know, I used to do title cards. I used to have to spend all this time erasing backgrounds, like you carefully using the clone tool to clone some other part of the image over the stuff I needed to get out of it, you know, that I wasn't covering with a dumb dragon in the middle of everything. You know, now this would be just like, so great, you know, just push a button and it's like automatically erases a bunch of stuff and then puts in its own, a new background. You're just like, ah, all done. Brush hands, walk away. Wouldn't be there until 4 a.m. trying to, you know, reproduce a Gilligan's Island picture.
You know? You did a great job. And if you go to the Sneaky Dragon website, you can see Dave's title cards and they're well worth a look. Edward Dragansky writes, I tell many of my family and friends about the show and have for many years, but the question brings up an interesting situation. Nobody close to me ever listens to podcasts.
Yeah.
None whatsoever. When I offer to share a podcast, Sneaky Dragon included, those closest to me seem to act technically baffled or just stop me with a, oh, I don't understand podcasts. Never mind. And just move on. Which is an interesting thing. And it makes me want to, I got an idea now for a question. Okay. There we go. Nice. I don't understand. Move on. The two guys I do a podcast with from time to time listen to a range of things, but my inner circle won't have any of it. I do share some show content with Susan, and in answering your question, she does gravitate towards the topics of food and food preparation, but nothing about movies and comics and pop culture. If you guys ever do a show on Korean dramas or K-pop, you might win her over, but she still acts like listening to a podcast takes some sort of PhD in order to enjoy it. Believe me, I've tried. I think back to college when the meal card in the dorm wasn't enough because the cafeteria closed at 7 p.m. We had a little pot of boiled water in the dorm room that we'd cook ramen noodles in during the after hours or on weekends when the cafeteria was closed. There was a really cheap Mexican all-you-can-eat place off campus called Poncho's. You went through a cafeteria line and ordered your meal and paid a one-time price. Then, if you wanted more from the table, there was a little Mexican flag. You raised up a pole and let your server know that you were ready for seconds and thirds or even fourths. They brought you whatever you wanted on those little blue plates till you had enough. I swear, we were like hobbits in there all day long eating. My roommate once ate 22 plates of food on a Sunday afternoon with zero regrets.
Until later in the bathroom.
Currently, I added that bit. Ed's classy. He didn't do that. Currently, we try not to eat out, but maybe once or twice a week since it's become so expensive. The alternative has been to buy food in bulk and cook it ourselves to save money. So far, it's worked well enough. Susan keeps a tight budget on groceries and will let me know when it's time to cut corners a bit. She's the daughter of an accountant. So I've put all my trust in her, and so far it's worked out very well, and we're not starving. I'm writing from work, so it's time to get back to the work grind now. Everyone have a safe and happy weekend and beyond. Thank you.
Thanks, Ed.
Peter Ayers writes.
Peter Ayers?
Hey, fellas. Happy Iranian New Year.
Iranians. To Ayers is human.
Yep. You ever heard that one? There you go.
You're welcome.
That
you're
one's
welcome,
free.
Peter.
That one's free.
That's We're free. That yeah, one. That's just
that kind comes of, free with the podcast.
unlike the rest of the content, which you pay for dearly, this is that's free for you.
Iranians celebrate New Year at the exact moment of the equinox, no matter where on the planet they're celebrating. I love this, so indulge me. Imagine that the Earth's equator as a circle in space. The circle could be drawn on an imaginary plane surface. The tilt of the globe means that we in the northern hemisphere spend winter with the sun on the south side of the surface. At 3:06 a.m. UK time on Wednesday, the center of the sun crossed over to the north side of the surface. Hooray! David.
Oh, yes.
This is for you. This question for you.
Oh.
It's being directed towards you.
Being directed towards you.
So pay attention. Put down that copy of The Great Gatsby. Read it in the car on the way home.
You're right. I will read it on the way home.
You asked me to clarify what I meant by the unholy trinity.
Yes.
I have to admit, I'm not sure who coined the phrase, but I may have heard it first on Mark Gatiss's excellent History of Horror series for the BBC.
Oh.
I remember him using it to describe the trio of very unusual British films, which came to define folk horror, namely Witchfinder General, Blood on Satan's Claw, and The Wicker Man.
Mm-hmm.
There's an argument to be made that this series, plus Gatiss's comedy work with The League of Gentlemen, did much to cement the genre in the popular imagination, and led to it becoming the defining horror genre of recent years. Discuss!
That has become the defining horror genre of recent years?
Yes.
Folk horror. Well,
I'm not a horror person so much, so I'm going to let you discuss it while I run.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to think of, like, what, besides the Vavitch, what other folk horror films that have come out in recent years. I mean, you might put A Field in England in that, but I prefer to put A Field in England in my psych horror genre that I just invented last week. I'm just trying to think of other movies that have come out recently that are folk horror films. Would you consider Midsommar folk horror? Would that be considered folk horror? I don't know for sure, because I'm trying to, like, parse out this idea of psych horror and folk horror, and admittedly there is some overlap in that because often psych horror takes place in a rural location for some reason. So I'm just trying to, like, you know, kind of figure out if they're the same thing, and I'm just trying to be too fine about these things, and really they are the same. So, but I don't know. It's hard for me to think of, like, too many movies that I would consider, like, folk horror that have come out recently.
What was the one where the woman played both the old woman and the young woman? Was it Pearl? Something like that?
Pearl, yeah.
Yeah. Was that be folk horror? I feel like it was in a farm.
Yeah, it's on a farm, but it's not really folk horror. Because to me, folk horror is, like, folkloric. Like, it's based in the folklore of an area.
Oh, okay, all right.
You know, or, like, has elements of paganism in it, and, like, of nature worship. That would be folk horror to me. So you, like, something like The Wicker Man, where, you know, Edward Woodward's character ends up on this island of, you know, kind of pagan nature worshippers, and, you know, is upset by that because he's this sort of evangelical Christian character, or at least not necessarily evangelical Christian, but a straight-laced Christian, a Scotch Presbyterian, probably. So very strict upbringing, of religious view, you know. And, or something like The Blood and Satan's Claws, where you have, like, a farming community. It is a farming community. It is a rural community. But then you have, like, this sort of element of, once again, of sort of paganism, mm-hmm. that sort of starts to take over the village folk. Yeah. And then obviously Witchfinder General, once again, witches and paganism are closely intertwined together in those things. So I was thinking, like, Midsommar might be an example of that, but it's not, it's more of a cult horror. It's more of a cult horror film because it's a woman getting enmeshed in a cult and, you know, becoming.
But is it a cult that, like, has old folkish, you know, ways and what have you?
Well, they're kind of, like, not really. I mean, maybe they are old folkish ways, but, like, maybe they're, yeah. Actually, yeah, you're right. I think that would count as folk horror, thinking about some of the things that some of the goings on. Yeah.
All right.
I don't know if it's all the rage, but I really like it. I really like folk horror. It's funny because on Shudder they have like a thing where when you turn it on, it just kind of is a horror movie playing, and it's just playing, you know, like, so you can just, like, start watching it if you want, depending, it doesn't, like, wherever it is, and just watch the movie, or you can, like, be interested in it and, you know, watch it for a bit and go, oh, this is kind of interesting. I'll find it in the movie listings and just watch it from the beginning. Mm-hmm. But they have it. It's like, you know, Shudder TV or whatever. And they do have, like, folk horror is one of, like, the the channels, you know, put that in quotation marks, but one of the channels, like one of the things, so they have a bunch of ones that are focused towards that. And actually, thinking about it, I was over at my former friend of the show, David M's place, and he had bought this DVD collection of folk horror stuff, and there was like Clear Cut in there, and the Wicker Man wasn't in there, and so he was kind of poo-pooing it. It's like, why would you have a folk horror collection not have the Wicker Man in it, you know? And I'm kind of like, well, I don't know, licensing. But anyway, you know, I just don't think it's fair to like just say this is not worth anything because it's missing one of the key elements. But at the same time, you know, like if you can't afford it or they don't want to license it to you, then
yeah,
well, you're screwed. You find other movies that are also interesting, because it had some other ones that I've seen on Shudder that I would also count as folk horror from, you know. But anyway,
that's interesting. When you're saying it was all the rage, I thought like that's a good name for a horror movie, All the Rage.
Yes.
The three-part series is available on YouTube, and it's well worth a watch.
I will give it a watch. Thank
Although
you.
I won't link to it here, as my post will be quarantined again. It will be quarantined. Incidentally, when I finally got around to watching Blood on Satan's Claw a few years ago, I was delighted that the principal, squire, corseted village girl, was played by my mom's friend Tammy. That is Tamara Ustinov, daughter of Peter.
Yes.
I'd always known she was an actor, but I'd never seen her in anything. Looking her up on IMDb, she gets a credit in Blood from the Mummy's Tomb, alongside the highly distracting Valerie Lyon.
She does have some tasteful nudity in the film.
Seeing your mom's friends naked. that's the start.
I mean, it's tasteful because you don't see any of her bits.
Okay.
It's just you know that she's naked, but they take the pain to not. Whereas another girl is like full frontal nudity, tip to toe. Yes, that's what it meant to say. Anyway,
that would be a funny scene in a movie. Is like, if you have like someone who's in a bath or in a shower and everything is just like perfectly covered with soap, just perfectly, but just that bit. And then someone just walks in buck ass nude and just like, hey, did you need the soap? No, okay. All right. Stop using it all up.
Mm.
Yeah. Sneaky Dragon is one of my solitary listening pleasures. While I love picking over the bones of pop culture, my partner has a very different set of references and interests. Vive la différence, says I. Several years ago, I spent a very happy week redecorating my old apartment with an old partner and listening to Totally Tintin together. Your recent trip to Belgium really brought this back. It's striking how a re-listen to a podcast can trigger very exact memories of what you were doing the first time you heard it. It's true.
It is true.
My frugal eating go-to has always been soup. 25p instant noodle and frozen peas in my student days, miso soup or caldo verde with egg and garlic as an older man. Budget culinary revelation of the year, the 5-minute baguette from Viola Viola on YouTube. Top-notch French bread at home, yum, and now I'm hungry, off to raid the fridge. I'm very curious what that was. And continues, since I'm sure you're wondering, we celebrated Iranian New Year by rolling over in bed and grunting Happy New Year at one another. Then I made a pan-fried trout with garlic and spring onions, served with French beans and sabzi polo. I hope I'm saying that right. The last thing is Iranian-style rice, prepared in a rice cooker with salt and oil. You let the water steam off and let an outer layer form a crust, allowing you to turn the whole thing onto a plate like a cake. Break open the crust and there's a soft, pillowy rice inside. This time I lined the cooker with thinly sliced potato, adding tons of dill, parsley, and coriander leaf. I really need to raid that fridge now. Peter.
Thank you, Peter.
Okay. I'm writing this down, the Viola Viola.
Thank you, everyone. Oh, is that the last letter?
Yeah.
Well, thank you to everyone who wrote.
I think we got an email, but it was about the question.
Yes.
So they're already ahead of you guys. So get on that.
Get in there.
Get on that 5-minute baguette. Writing this down. 5-minute baguette.
I've been putting together a mixtape for this prize package.
Oh, that's very nice.
So I'm saying that by stating that I have to finish it now.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
I cannot not finish it.
Get that. I was going to say, like, as a question, there's a little mention of like the people not knowing what podcasts are, and I thought, what's my blind spot in tech? And my blind spot, which is a silly blind spot,
okay,
is whenever I see these these video games where it's like you got a video game machine. It's got 10,000 video games on it.
Okay.
And it's like, wow, how'd you get that? And it's like, well, there's these MAME games. You just download the MAMEs of these games. And I've known about this for a million years. You know, where it's just like all the games that you liked, you know, here they are. And in fact, there's a VR thing right now, which is amazing, which is like you can just walk into, in VR world, an arcade, and it's all the games from, like, you know, the 80s, and they're all there, and it's really beautiful, and you just play the games. Huh. And it's like, yes, you got to download the MAME files of these things. I got no idea what the hell that is. I got no idea. And I've known about this for, like, 20 years at least. And whenever, you know, I talk about, like, maybe I'll buy one of these things that's got, like, you know, 100 games on it. Like, well, just get the MAME files, says the people shrugging their shoulders and looking at me like, you know, I'm just a Luddite. And I'm like, you're right. You're correct. You're absolutely correct. Apparently, this is the easiest thing in the world to do for some people. You get, like, a video game machine, just buy the machine, and then, like, put all your own games on it, and you'll have all the games that you wanted from the arcade, and that's a possibility. How to do that at all. Completely. Just blind to that. I should learn how that works. But what's your technological blind spot you know nothing about?
Interesting. My question number two, is are you part of the gig economy? The other day I was driving, and I was driving behind a bus. And on the bus was a advertisement for something called Easy Iron.
Okay.
This is, believe it or not, this is something that you can have your clothes ironed by someone else.
Okay.
But it's all done as like an Uber situation. So you like call someone and they come and collect your clothes and they iron them for you and then they return them.
Okay.
And I just thought, wow, this is a changing world that ironing is being farmed out by people. I mean, I don't like ironing. I don't blame them. But
well, it's, I mean, the only thing is it's missing the laundry aspect of it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, people would do your laundry and iron the clothes at the end.
Mm-hmm.
This is just stripping out.
Yeah, but
that one element
in the past, it was the people, you know, people who do laundries, they have like, they have the infrastructure to do that. They have the washing machines. They have the building to do, to store them in and all that. This is like getting rid of all that and just having some poor schmo driving around in their car, getting clothes from people so they can iron them and then bringing them back again.
This seems but how is that different than the laundry stuff, except you just don't have to do the extra work?
Well, you drop it off, right?
At the laundry?
Yeah.
No, you could get laundry picked up and dropped off. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But that's an extra part of the service, I imagine. There's a extra charge for the pickup.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then you take the washing out of it and then you do that. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't seem too different than what already exists.
I guess.
But I mean, it really feels like people that just moved out from home and like they want iron clothes and, you know, their parents aren't around to do that. And so they get that done. And that's the way that feels like there should be. Like, just get your laundry done then. Like, get the whole thing done. Mm. Wait, did you wash your clothes? And then what did you do? You just crumpled them up? Where'd you put them? Where are they? They came out of the dryer?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, I don't iron my clothes.
No, I don't either. I just if you snatch them out of the dryer in time, you don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or if you don't, if you have it, put a towel in there and an ice cube, it will, you'll get the wrinkles out.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to, you know, worst comes to worst, I'd run a hot shower and walk into, like the room and then just like smooth it out around yourself, you know, if you needed to get that going.
Yeah. The shirt, I have to wear a dress shirt for choir, and it's the only time I wear a dress shirt in my life. I don't like wearing dress shirts anymore. I used to wear them when I was younger. But now I wear them and the collar bothers me, I guess, because I just haven't worn them very often. So now I'm like, I'm a ginnam. But
we have sensitive necks as older gentlemen.
But that's what it is. Yeah. Yeah.
I find myself sometimes, you know, you're tugging at your collar and just like, he's got choking me. That never bothers me. Well, mine just
really, it really irritates my red neck. Mm. So that's my problem as an older person.
I do a lot of this going like, ooh, like pulling it with one finger. And just like, when I say something embarrassing or awkward.
I don't notice when I do that.
He's standing right behind me, isn't he? No, he's standing in front of you. What? Oh, my vision is terrible. Whoa.
Well, just so you know, if you develop a red neck, then you don't actually feel those kind of feelings when you say things that are awkward. But anyway, so I have to wear like a dress shirt for choir, and the last shirt I got, it's not permanent press, so it's always comes out of the dryer looking like I put it in there and knotted it into a knot, like tied it up into a knot and put it into the dryer and dried it that way. It's just like this ball of wrinkles that comes out every time. So now I'm like, I guess I'm going to have to find where I put my old iron and old ironing board.
It is funny sometimes when you like, oh, got to iron something. Where the hell is that? Where did I put that heavy iron in the ironing board? And then you're like, I got two ironing boards? Why do I have two ironing boards? Was this always like so low? How's this work? This is weird. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
People would do this all the time. They'd iron everything.
My mom ironed all the time.
All of the things.
But I mean, she smoked and she talked on the telephone. So those were pastimes that you can iron while doing. Mm. You know, so you can have a cigarette on the go, a phone crooked under your shoulder, and then you just stand and iron and talk to your friends while you're ironing.
So I says to him, I says, Mabel, I says.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess you're just like, yeah, that's normal, whatever. When I saw that, I was just like, that is weird. Like easyiron.ca, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
It seems strange to me. It
weird just would be if you called someone to make your bed.
Well, like, that could be next.
Yeah. That. I mean, basically what you want then is you want maid service, but you want just hotel maid service. You just want them to come in to the one room, make the bed, put a little chocolate on there, put a little strip over your toilet to say it was sanitized, and then leave. And you don't clean the toilet. You just put the strip over saying it was sanitized. Give you a little soap.
Well, that's like in a hotel then.
Yeah. And then like three little bottles.
Mm.
You're like, okay, shampoo, conditioner, and what's this one for? And I'm like, you know what it's for. No, what's it for? No, you know what it's for. No, what is it for? You know what it's for. I'm not going to tell you what it's for.
Is it body lotion?
Yeah, you know what it's for. Anyway.
Do you listen to relax while you're using it?
It's just there. Just, you know, don't use it then. Okay. Well, maybe, do I need it? I don't know if you need it or not. I'm leaving. You should iron your shirt. You slob.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you're getting someone in to make your bed, then you're gonna have them do your laundry for you.
Because
you'll want fresh sheets.
Well, they could take the towels. They could just freshen up your towels and you get a nice towel there. That'd be nice.
Do your sheets for you. Put fresh sheets. There's nothing better than fresh sheets in a bed.
I used to live in a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Once upon a time, I lived at the Lord Nelson Hotel in Halifax when I was working on Street Fence.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think it was once a week, you know, a maid would come and it would, like, take all the stuff away and what have you. That was weird.
Yeah.
It's weird for a place you're living.
Yeah. Kind of nice, though.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're embarrassed about your bed being a big mess when they finally come.
You know, it's just, you got to remember it. Remember, this is maid day.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, maid, what? But I'm living here. Why is there a maid? This makes no sense.
They come to the door. You're wearing two pizza boxes of shoes. You're just like a panic to get rid of all your debris.
Sure. That's exactly what it'd be. And like, could you get out of this place while I clean? All right, I'll go wait in the graveyard across the street.
Did they actually ask that? You have to leave?
Well, yeah, you have to leave.
I mean, it does make sense. Why would you want to hang around there anyway?
It'd be weird.
It is weird. It is weird. Like, even when, like, when the people
were doing their windows. I thought you were going to say it was weird that I had a graveyard across the street. But
no, you mentioned the graveyard before, so I've gotten over it, I guess. But
well, the victims of the Titanic did. And that's who was there.
They're well over it. It's like coming home the other day and the window people were there. It was like there was that awkwardness of like, well, you just can't settle down to your life. You can't like turn the TV on and flop down on the couch and be a slob.
It's also a good name for a horror movie is The Window.
The Window People? Okay.
Yeah.
A folk horror?
Yeah.
Okay.
And just like, there's no one outside. We'll look through this window. Oh, yeah, I can see them through this window. I only see the window. Oh, that was the one the person got killed in. What?
I have a new assignment for Peter.
All right.
He has to tell me 5 folk horror movies.
All right.
Because I'm just curious, like, All the Rage.
Again, All the Rage is a great name for a horror movie.
It is. I mean, that could have been the name for what is it called? 28 Days Later, yeah.
Well, you know the new movie, right?
I do not.
Okay. So guess what the title of the new movie?
4 years later or 15 years later?
28 years later.
28 years later. Is it 20 years? It's 28 years?
I think so.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if it was in reality.
It is.
But that's
right.
the title of the movie.
It is. 28 years ago. No, it couldn't be that because that movie came out after. No, it could be. Came out after Trainspotting. It was a movie he did right after Trainspotting, was it? Or did he? No, he did that. He did that one about the guy kidnapping Cameron Diaz or whatever.
Yeah, so the
28 Days Later.
Cillian Murphy is Killian? Said, yeah, yeah. He's acting in 28 Years Later, so let's see when 28 Days Later happened, and then we'll all feel sad. 28 Days Later was 2000.
So it's not 28.
No, it's 22 years ago.
Yeah. I didn't think it was.
But before. It's going to take at least 2 years to make.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be 24 years.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do? Call it 24 years
yeah,
later?
I'm going to
No, you're not going to do that.
I'm going to call
no,
him on this.
No, you're not going to do that. You ruined the movie. What's it matter? Let them have the thing. And what's that Cillian Murphy guy been up to? He's a hard get now. Now.
I don't think he's a hard get.
That's a, I don't know.
I don't think he's a hard get.
Okay.
I mean, he's been a character actor for most of his career.
Yeah, yes.
One big movie. I mean, it's the sort of movie that could wreck your career as a character actor, Oppenheimer. Mm. You know, because now your agent's going to be like, oh, you can't take that movie. You don't want to be just like a second lead in this movie. You want to be the top biller in this movie. Hang on. Just wait for a movie where you're the top bill. Don't worry. It'll come. It'll come. Don't worry. It'll yeah. come. It'll...
Ask Robert Downey Jr. about it. Right, Robert? Take it. Take all the work. What? Would you say, Robert?
Yeah, take the work you can get.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, what made you get that Oscar is that career that you had where you were mostly a character actor through your career, whether it was playing Scarecrow in that movie or...
Scarecrow in the other movie.
Scarecrow in the other movie. Or guy in a chair in the other movie or guy on a plane in that other movie.
Yeah. Was he in Red Eye?
Was that? Yeah, he was in Red Eye, yeah.
He's a good actor. Good for them. Good for him.
He is a good actor.
28 Days Later, good movie.
It is a good... I mean, I like part of it. I don't like all of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You don't like it when Christopher Eccleston shows up?
Yeah, I don't like that part of the movie.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair
feels,
doing.
Feels like it kind of goes off the rails there.
Okay.
It's kind of, what's everyone doing now? This is ridiculous. But it's like the best version of Day of the Triffids that you'll see, you know, like him waking up in the hospital and discovering that the world's changed a little bit.
Yeah, him walking out into London and seeing no one there.
Yeah.
And if you have been to London, you know that's what it's like at like 5 in the morning anyway. But
it's like an old Sunday closing day in London.
Yeah,
it's
like, oh yeah, that's right. Well, wait 3 hours and it's going to, you know, try to get a bus. It's funny though, because yeah, nowadays you can, because everyone's got nice crisp TVs, you can see the one person who's in the background and one of those.
Oh, really?
Sean's like, hey, how about that guy?
That's like Sense and Sensibility, the Emma Thompson one. There's apparently a car driving in the distance. Now, I've never noticed that. I just heard it, but I've never noticed it. So, and I'm not going to look for it, because once you see these things, you can't unsee them. It's kind of like that cameraman or the stage crew appearing in the mirror in a Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
Or a Scrooge, actually. You know, someone points it out to you, then you can never not unsee it.
The fun thing would be, if you had a movie, again, I know Back to the Future has a traveling car, but like if you had like a movie like that and just went, just do a scene where you go like, I have a little time travel scene and then cut to that scene in that movie and just have the car driving in the background and like cut back to, you know, oh yeah, the time machine works. Like, what was that? And then people go back to look at their old copy of Sense and Sense. There's a freaking car there. They set that up. This is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still mad that The Flash didn't do the Eric Stoltz thing with Back to the Future. So annoying. They mentioned Back to the Future and they mentioned that, you know, Eric Stoltz was the lead because they were in like a dimension where, or a time area where, you know, that was the case. And they didn't show the clips of Eric Stoltz in Back to the Future that we all know exist. And it's like, show that. Watch it. It would be thrilling to people who don't know that this is a thing. That'd be fantastic. You're like, how did you pull that off?
Would that fall outside? Well, I guess not. No. They would still own that footage, right?
The studio would still own that. Like the DVD releases and whatnot.
Oh, have they shown the footage?
I've seen it many times.
Okay. Yeah. I've never seen it. I'd be curious,
actually. It's interesting because it's like shot exactly like the same scene. So you know the scenes, but then all of a sudden Eric Stoltz's head comes in and is like, whoa. And you're like, yeah, he's fine. But like Michael J. Fox better? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a good call.
Okay. You
know, this was fine. This would have been a fine movie. It would be fine. But
yeah.
Like, Michael J. Fox was like a good comedy guy and it all worked out.
Huh.
Yeah.
Good for him.
I'll show you an Eric Stoltz clip after this.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, it'll be a treat. So what's the second question?
I said it already.
Which was?
I don't remember.
I remember you just you asked Peter to find five.
No, things. It was... can't remember now, but I did ask a question.
Very good. Look back and see what Dave asked. and then contact us at sneakyd@sneakydragon.com, sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. Also a good place to send your questions for our question show. What are the questions you're asking? Well, I don't know. What do you want to ask us? Ask us something about our personal tastes, about our history. You know, if it's something that we can talk about, we will talk about it. So there you go. You can also go to Facebook. We are still there. I know it's called Meta now, but no one calls it that. So Facebook. There you go. We have a Sneaky
Dragon. It's still called Facebook. The company has changed its name to Meta.
All right. Fair enough. It's X that did that silly thing.
Yeah.
And everyone still calls it Twitter. and we're on there. It's Sneaky_Dragon. We're also on Tumblr because, you know, you got to put on one weird random thing. It's the third bottle, you know, on the shelf. You know what it's for. You know what Tumblr's for. You know. And that's sneakydragon.tumblr.com. So we're there as well. Or go to our website. That is where most people go. And that is sneakydragon.com. What can you find there? Glad you asked. Every episode of every show we've ever done, got a little message board area. Post your thoughts. Fantastic. Why don't you listen to some of our past episodes? Sneaky Dragon. Or any of the more focused things like a Completely Beatles, Totally Tintin, a Full Marks, Fansplainers. Or some of our new shows like Horse Mysteries, mentioned earlier in the show, or refresh my memory, also mentioned earlier in the show. Give it a listen. If you were starting Horse Mysteries, what episode would you start with? If you're like, hey, take a sample of Horse Mysteries, what's one that people should start with?
I think the first season, one? Any of them are fine. Yeah, I think.
There we go. Okay, and I think
we are right in our stride, right? Like.
And I'm saying to people now, if you haven't listened to a Refresh My Memory, the Grizzly Adams one is a good place to start. It's just it's some good laughs, some good times. And we also include the whole movie on our webpage, the Sneaky Dragon page there. So just click on it because it's on YouTube. It's the only place we can find it. Click on it, waste some time, and drive your beloved ones out of the room. They will not be able to take the whole damn thing. Maybe if you turn the volume off. And they'll just go, oh, bears. That's fine. That's nice.
Yeah.
So do that. So thank you so much for writing us and listening. And we appreciate it. And wish you all good health and to have a lovely week. And is there anything more you want to say, David?
No.
Okay, there you go. That's David. Just goes on and then doesn't have anything to say.
I know, because I just noticed that our backup recorder has turned itself off. So my mind is swamped with thoughts.
Okay, we got it on the other one.
Yes, we do have it on the other one, so it's all good.
All right, let's wrap it up now. Bye.
Bye, everyone.